you remember, it was September 1991, do you remember the match between Gloucester and the Irish 15?
I do, yes, again.
That was a memorable night.
Gloucester supporters. It was a tremendous win. I don't know whether we'd played England before or after, but
yes, not so successfully. But
England were, yeah, they were, but the Irish game was absolutely brilliant.
Because it really was a full Irish.
In everything but name. Yes,
they called themselves an Irish 15 or an Irish President's 15, but in reality, it was a tryout for the World Cup.
It was, again, great experience, but both the games, and, I suppose I'm one of relatively few people who's played against the national side of his own country, in terms of England, and also played against a national side in terms of Ireland, and Derek Morgan, I think, scored the try, which gave us the win. Mm-hmm. Dislocated my finger tackling Simon Gagan, I think it was. But centenary season was a superb event. But those two were very, very memorable games in a rugby career, and I kept the shirt for a long, long time. I managed to swap my shirt, I think, with Jim Staples, I think it was. Mm. And I kept that. They were horizontal colours.
Good shirt, this one. Really.
Unfortunately, I don't have it anymore. I gave it to an Irish friend in a moment of weakness. But yes. I've got a Gloucester shirt. I don't know how I managed to get it. I think I must have asked nicely. And my South West, I managed to get a South West shirt because I played the one game for the South West Division, again, probably the lowest scoring player to have played for the South West, and that I kicked one conversion. But I've got those there in the ceiling in the Dings the clubhouse in Bristol. So.
Do you still keep in touch with any of your previous colleagues, or is rugby no longer part of your life, as it were?
I occasionally come down to watch games. Mm. I can't say I've been down a lot, and that's partly to do with being busy at work, yes. And if and when I retire, it may be that.
So actually, what are you working at now? I'm
basically assistant head at Beaufort Cooperative Academy in Gloucester, and I've been there for 21 years now. So
that's not a rugby school, is it?
We do produce some decent rugby players. Andy Deacon is a former pupil, not huge numbers, but we have some good side, and some good young players. Mm. I think one of the issues for the game now is that young players expect a return from their involvement in the game, whereas we grew up playing because you enjoyed the game. Mm. And I think there is a tendency amongst players, if they don't make it by the time they're 19 and 20, to kind of lose some enjoyment in the game and not play. And I think that's quite a serious issue for local clubs.
And the introduction of professional rugby has changed the whole way in which people train and prepare. Is that something which worries you in terms of responsibility?
I think it's a completely different game. The physical side of the game now is vastly different. When you watch a game now, the impact of the tackles and the hits. Mm-hmm. In the days when I think we played, you might see one of those tackles where somebody stopped somebody else dead every three or four games. Mm-hmm. When somebody'd been given a hospital pass and got obliterated by a member of the opposition, but it didn't happen anything like as often. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the concerns is, I now feel the fact that I've played a contact sport for as long as I did.
Yeah.
What guys who are playing now are going to be like when they're in their 50s, mm. I think is a concern.
Yes.
Because it is now a very big high impact game played by huge human beings. When you look at when I played, my kind of fighting weight was 13 stone 7. And I would have been regarded as a big three-quarter.
Right.
Now that would probably make you, the smallest player on the field. And there might only be one of you.
And of course, you're playing an amateur game where you've got a day job.
Yeah.
If you get injured, the danger of
Again, you know, I think we were well looked after at Gloucester at the time. I mean, Roger Ralston, who was the team physio, you know, acupuncturist, who you know, we went and visited, yes. And the club supported that. Mm-hmm. I can remember being on a coach on the way to a game with a whole array of acupuncture needles into my upper thigh and groin area, getting some treatment on the way to the game. But you know, we were at the time, I think, you know, well looked after and supported in that. But yes, you know, it was an amateur game at that time, and you know, that was the status.
John, is there anything else that we can usefully? It's been very good of you to come, Nick.
Yeah, no problem at all.
You know, you've come straight from school, and we appreciate your time.
No, it's no problem at all.
We appreciate your archive material, which will be digested in due course.
I don't think there's anything else, Nick. Unless you have anything yourself.
I suppose the only other thing would be obviously the coaching that I did. You know, having when I'd finished playing, came back and coached the Colts.
You mentioned the academy as well.
Yeah, the academy, because we started off with John Haynes, Pat Kiley from Lydney. I think Andy Stanley and Dave Poynton, we did a Colts team and then the 21 team. When the game was moving towards professionalism, and then the second season, that then became an under 21 side. And you know, at that point, I had the privilege of coaching Simpson Daniel, Forrester, Marcel Garvey, you know, a number of other. I mean, Mike Tindall came for trials here. Because we got all of the England schools and whatever down for a trial at King's Home the previous season. He didn't come at the end, went to Bath, which is perhaps a shame. But, you know, I remember Simpson Daniel, I think, was... Again, I think it was a shame that he couldn't play fly half. Because when he played fly half in the academy side, and his ability to manipulate the ball and players around him was better than I think... anybody I've ever seen, but he couldn't kick. And I think you know he ended up playing on the wing, where you know there were glimpses of that brilliance, obviously, and you know, but at 10, he could have been in perhaps a different game, because at that time, you know, the way of playing rugby was that your fly half did kick the ball, whereas James didn't want to do that. He wanted to run everything, and he was superb. You know, and I think James Forrester was around about the same time, and again, you know, such a talented.
Anthony Allen, was he part of that?
No, he didn't play again. But Forrester again was such an elusive, you know, line breaking runner. Almost, you know, he was a Fijian, but born in Oxford.
Yes.
The way he played the game, you know, it was, I think, very, very sad that his career was cut short, because I
would
think
he'd been a fantastic sevens player.
Absolutely. So yeah, again, you know, having the opportunity again to work with players of that quality over, I think it was three or four seasons that we did it. We won the National Colts Cup one year. And again, you know, with the likes of Simpson Dan and Marcel Garvey.
This was before the days of Hartbury College, I suppose.
At that time, the academy setup was to bring these players in, and people like Simpson Dan and Forrester moved down here, and the club sorted out accommodation, etc. for them. And you know, they trained as an academy group, but also then, you know...
So they were really quite ahead of the game in terms of bringing young players in to create some sort of academy process.
And you know, again, I obviously, for whatever reason, it started, I think probably it was cost, because it was quite an expensive thing at the time. But I think it, you know, we were you know, cutting a furrow there, which obviously is now, you know, continued.
So. Well, there really were three unique players, weren't they, in different ways?
Absolutely, yeah. Garvey, such a powerful human being.
Well, when he... but literally burst on the scene with that low centre of gravity.
The way
he could burrow through people.
And so blisteringly quick, over 15 metres.
Yeah.
Again, you know.
Was he a local boy?
He was a St. Peter's boy.
St. Peter's.
So, again, that I think that was, you know, that was quite a nice way to kind of come back full circle and, you know, give something back and, you know, absolutely, you know, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I remember once Philip Saint-André came to watch a session, and this has lived with me ever since. bit of a Jeffrey Boycott type quote. He came and watched and the game was going on, and I think somebody on the side shouted, you know, "Oh, bad luck," and he went absolutely ballistic.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with luck. It's not good enough. Yeah. You know, I do not want to hear anybody, any of the coaches, say it's bad luck. It's not bad luck. It's poor technique. It's poor execution. And you know, absolutely correct.
Mm.
You know, and obviously, you know, Jeffrey Boycott was, you know,
yes,
about the practice, wasn't it? The harder I practice, the better I get. But yes, no, that was a real privilege.
Well, just for the record, you played 114 first 15 games, 678 points.
Oh right, okay, that's fair enough.
That's a very good record.
Yes, yeah, it's probably better than the had before, but yeah, that's good.
And there are not many players who can say I played over 100 times for Gloucester.
Absolutely, and you know, again, when people say,
very
you know,
proud.
How many games do you play? 130, well, like I said, it was 139, but
yeah.
that's what I've always said. But again, absolutely. I mean, as a sportsman,
yeah.
You know, it, I mean, I did, you know, I've made these notes, and I think what have I finished with? You know, the opportunity to play at Gloucester at Kingsale, one of the greatest privileges in sport, and you know, highlight of a sporting career. I don't think you can, particularly at that time.
Yes.
You know, the way the club was. You know, a small, you know, provincial city, but with such a tradition in rugby, it was, you know, it was an absolute privilege to be here and, you know, experience, you know, Kingsholm and you know, the superb fans and supporters who, you know, through thick and thin, you know, followed the place.
The ground has changed since you were playing.
It certainly has,
No hospitality boxes in your day?
No. The player's barn. That was probably about it. At least I never changed over the far side.
You were always over this side.
So I don't know what that point.
That was good.
Right.
Well, that's been really interesting, and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem at all. It's great. Enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Nick.
No problem at all.